Every week, we check in with our friends at America's Test Kitchen to see what they're up to. And since we've got iconic American desserts on our brain, we want to talk to them about the classic in their backyard, Boston cream pie. And we had hot questions for them, like, is there such thing as a good one really? And why is it called a pie when it's obviously a cake? Our producer, Sally Swift, got Bridget Lancaster to defend Boston cream pie's honor.
Hey, Bridget, great to have you back.
Thanks, Sally. Good to be back.
So Boston cream pie, I mean, I don't want you to feel responsible for defending Boston cream pie being from Boston, but I do have a question for you. First of all, it's a cake, so why do we call it a pie? And second of all, I don't think I've ever had a good piece of Boston cream pie.
Oh, boy.
Well, so I guess I am asking you to defend it.
Well, so there you can have really good Boston cream pie. I'm like you. It's really hard to find it out in bakeries that are good. You know, sometimes the cake is so rubbery. It's so sweet. There's so much sugar between the cake itself, the sponge cake, and that custard filling, and then the chocolate on top. But the pie part of it that you mentioned is really interesting. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of research trying to find out exactly what they meant by pie. What it came down to was, we think, and what food historians have told us, is that the pie plate was one of the most used pieces of bakery back then. So they baked everything in pie plates instead of cake pans. So it was just natural to call it a pie.
Huh. Okay.
At least that's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
So you guys have taken this apart and reassembled this old American recipe for the home cook. Can you tell me what you did?
Yeah, sure. Well, you think about, there's three components to a Boston cream pie. There's two layers of sponge cake, and in between is a layer of vanilla pastry cream. So, you know, so far, so good. You've got sponge cake and you've got pastry cream, and then they pour over this chocolate glaze.
Yeah. So that should be delicious. And as I've said, it has not always been. What did you guys do to make it friendly for home cooks?
Well, we ditched the sponge cake.
You did?
Yeah. A traditional sponge is super finicky. You take eggs, either whole eggs or egg yolks, and you beat them with sugar until they're foamy. And then you have to delicately fold in a flour mixture. And those little trapped air bubbles from beating the eggs and the sugar together, that's the only leavening that the cake gets. So if you overfold in the flour, you're going to deflate the mixture and you're going to have a really kind of squat Boston cream pie. Mm-hmm. Very, very rubbery at that point. So we switched over to something called a hot milk sponge cake, which is a little bit of a Betty Draper style retro recipe. It couldn't be easier to make. You take milk, a little bit of butter, you heat it together until the butter melts. You take some eggs and sugar, and you do beat that until it's nice and fluffy. But then you pour in all the milk mixture, and then you stir in some flour, a little bit of salt, and baking powder. Again, baking powder is going to make this foolproof. The cake is going to rise every single time.
And you do two of those, or you do one and cut it in half?
Nope, two of those. Much easier to do two of those. And the other part of this is there's some butter in the cake. That makes it more tender and less sweet. You know, a traditional sponge doesn't have a lot of fat in it. You need that fat to counter the sweetness.
Okay, so there we have the cake. So what goes on with the cream?
All right, pastry cream. There's two ways to make a traditional pastry cream. Again, you take eggs or egg yolks and you mix it with a little bit of sugar. And then you pour in hot half and half, and you have to be really careful. You want it to temper, you want it to start to thicken, but you don't want it to curdle, and you also don't want to undercook it, otherwise it can be too thin. And what we found, there's two ways to do this. The starch you can add is either cornstarch or flour, and flour is going to make the pastry cream work every single time. Cornstarch is 100% starch, and that really does have the ability to thicken very well. But if you don't heat the mixture enough, there's some enzyme in the egg yolk that will actually prevent the cornstarch from thickening enough. So you end up with a mixture that's just too thin. And then also, if you mix a cornstarch thickened pastry cream a little too much, it will start to thin itself. You're basically breaking down the structure in there and causing some of that moisture to weep out. But flour has, in addition to starch, it has some fats, some lipids, and also proteins, and they work as binders. So you not only have the starch from the flour, but these extra powerful binders that thicken the pastry cream, and it stays thick. So it works every single time.
I mean, pastry cream is really scary for people, so it sounds like you have absolutely eliminated that issue for us.
And, you know, here's a little hint that somebody once taught me. If your pastry cream curdles a little bit, it Doesn't mm-hmm. really matter. You just pass it through a fine mesh sieve and nobody will ever know.
Okay, last but not least, the chocolate glaze.
Oh, this is the easy one. So a lot of chocolate glazes are made from chocolate and heavy cream, and you pour it over the cake, but it can be kind of dull. The original recipe, the Boston cream pie that was made at the Parker House Hotel in Boston back in the 1850s, they mixed chocolate with a fondant mixture. So basically, they boiled water and sugar together until it got to the softball stage, a little bit of cream in there, too. And then added the chocolate, and it makes it very brittle, almost like candy. We wanted something that was sliceable. It was thick enough to cling to the cake and not just all pour down into the serving dish, but also stay nice and supple and be very shiny. And the key to that is just a little bit of corn syrup. A little bit of corn syrup just gives it that flexibility and shine like a freshly polished pair of black patent shoes.
Wow, you have really demystified this one. Is this one of those cakes, pies that is better after a day's rest?
Absolutely. Actually, the whole cake can be made over a few days. The cake can be made a couple days in advance. The pastry cream can be made also in a couple days in advance. So if you didn't want to put together this whole thing in one day, that's fine. But after you put it together, it really needs to refrigerate for at least 3 hours before mm-hmm. you want to slice into it because it has to set up. Our recipe says 24 hours in advance, but it will definitely sit there for 48 hours at least. I think cakes like that that have some pastry cream in them, they're much better. Any kind of dessert that really has a custard in it, it's much better if you give it at least one day in the fridge.
Love those recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget, thanks so much for explaining this one.
My pleasure, Sally. Thank you.
Bridget Lancaster is the executive editor for new media, television, and radio at America's Test Kitchen. You can find the recipe for Wicked Good Boston Cream Pie at splendidtable.org.